The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good afternoon, Santa Cruz. This is Richard Quigley. Hanging around KSCO for one more noontime show. Midday news at noon. A little call-in talk show they've been doing here for some number of years. Got my friend Nick in today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it a shot. It's Nick Bulajic. Bulajic. What an idiot. I knew I was going to get it wrong no matter how hard I practiced. And we're going to be talking about Watsonville and the fluoridation, mandatory fluoridation thing they're sticking down there and all that stuff in a few minutes. I'm going to beat that around. I think folks are getting used to my opening rant, so I'm not to let you down. I do have one today. And, of course, it's war-related. And, no, we're not going to do a bunch of talk about the war today. I can avoid it because this matter that Nick's here for is a little bit more important and it's what we're scheduled to do. But I'm sitting here looking at this. It's kind of interesting to be both a conservative Republican and opposed to the war. there's some folks out there. I feel kind of weird because I know that I'm not in that that liberal progressive bent of most of the folks that talk about it. But One of the reasons that people keep giving us for this war is that we want to somehow or other bless these folks in Iraq with this theory of democracy. Democracy being when two wolves and a sheep sit down and vote as to what's for dinner. I think that might pretty much go to what's at the heart of that and my sentiments on that. In a democratic republic, which means that we get to vote on stuff, but it's one of those deals where if you got 100 wolves and one sheep sitting down to dinner, if it's against the House rules, you can have a vote of 100-1 to eat the sheep, and it ain't going to be the sheep because the nature of a republic is it's the sovereignty of the individual, then the city, then the county, then the state, and then the United States reigns supreme. And what backs that up is a couple of things they call constitutions, both federal and state. And we'll be talking some about the state constitution relative to this issue of fluoridation, of which I don't know how educated most of you are on that. But the main thing I got about it is that the people in Watsonville know what they want, and the people in Sacramento think they know better. And that's why I brought Nick down today and see what we can do about that. Anyway, we'll get back to what I was talking about. We're gonna bless the Iraqis with this democratic form of government that, quite frankly, after 225 years, we haven't demonstrated that we know how to handle. I mean, what is the advantage? We have in Iraq, they have a dictatorship, and I think those people have lived in that part of the world under some sort of either imperialistic or dictatorship in all of those countries for all of time. I don't know whenever they had ever sought to adopt democracy. I don't know that they're acclimated to it. It would seem to me that if the Iraqi people were going to adopt a political methodology of democracy, that it would take some schooling and how many generations. I mean, I don't know that you can sit down and do it overnight. Folks will argue that we managed to pull it off in Japan. I hesitate to point out we don't have Douglas MacArthur, so that's the old double-edged. So that's my thing, my rant on the war today. I think it's stupid. I mean, I, again, conservative, Republican, I understand all the patriotic reasons. I sat here one day and listened to a discussion on KSCO where somebody got real with it, and I can't even remember who it was. I swore I wasn't going to forget, but I did. Where he finally got down to the reason that we're doing it is because we can. And ultimately, I fear that that's exactly what we're doing, is that we are policing the world. We're determining what's right for everybody else before we clean up our own backyard because we can. We're the richest and the most powerful. I think Gandhi, were he alive today, would point out that the fact that we can and don't might be far more honorable than to go the way that we're going. So with that ran out of the way, let's get back to talking about the application of democracy. What do you say, Nick? Why I invited Nick down today was because Watsonville voted against the idea of fluoridating the water over there a long time ago, and it came about, and I'll let Nick explain the detail of that, and sort of from the side, and it wasn't like they specified fluoride as a no-no. They specified certain sorts of substances that have been specifically approved, or were not specifically approved by the USDA, that are being claim to have some sort of a health benefit, if I've got that right, and I see from the nod that I do. Anyway, they voted not to put that in the water over there in Watsonville, and this is by referendum, and this is by the voters in the community. And then the state's come along here, I guess, recently, and now they've written an order to the city of Watsonville telling them that because they took some money from the state of California for something or another, that they're now going to put fluoride in the water, the will of the people be damned. And so I look at that, and people that think that I should be in here talking about how do we fix the police departments and how do we fix the planning department and how do we fix the board of supervisors wonder what I'm doing on this, but this is a freedom fighter issue. This is absolutely a freedom fighter issue, because what it comes down to is the most basic of all tenets, and that is our sovereignty. When you have people in a community such as Watsonville who decide that they do not do or do not want something that has no effect whatever on anybody in any other part of the state but Watsonville, how is it that the government sees that they can come in and go the other direction? And Nick's going to talk about that. As a matter of fact, why don't we do that now, Nick? We'll bring you on, and I'd like for you to explain to me in the audience the background of this, where the initiative came from that the voters of Watsonville passed relative to this fluoridation. Could you do that in a couple 20 minutes?
Sure. it was July of 2001 where this first came up before the city of Watsonville. The council voted, they chose to fluoridate, and we, the citizens, rose up. We gathered enough signatures to put it on the ballot. And what we put on the ballot was quite clear. We did not ban fluoridation. We set two criteria, and that the first one being that the substance has to be approved by the FDA for safety and effectiveness for the health claim being made. In this case, what they're trying to do is they're saying that fluoride's going to cure tooth decay. Well, fine. We've asked them. The voters have spoken and said, bring us a substance that's been proven to work. Now all of a sudden this has caused a tizzy. They can't bring us a substance that's been proven to work, and instead they want to threaten us and fine us. So the first thing I want to say is we, the people of Watsonville, voted already.
Yeah, that's what I understood. And what was the outcome of that?
We got 3,109 votes.
Against?
2,988.
So it sounds like a 51 to 49.
51-49 is right there.
But to the winner goes the spoils. Does it not?
It sure does.
Yeah. So.
Well, at least it did until the state until Sacramento came into this fray.
Yeah, right. But
otherwise.
But my point being is, of course, is that the people that don't go to the polls, one of the things that they do is vote by omission. And of course, where I come from, silence means consent, which means that to the victor does go the spoils, which means that when Nick's speaking on this subject, and when the Board of Supervisors, the City Council is dealing with this subject, they have to deal with it from the perspective of not only the people that passed the initiative, but the ones who by not voting, get incorporated into that pile. So they're talking about 3 out of 4 members of the community endorsing or supporting or allowing the city the power to stand in the way of putting fluoride in the water. Incidentally, on the issue of tooth decay, okay, I'm going to digress for just a minute. I hope we can pick this up without breaking your stride. But I'm reminded, I believe it was 1976. It could have been 1977. The California legislature decided that they were going to pass a bill that would tax beer 3 or 4 cents a six pack, and it would uh, five 5 cents a bottle for wine and 25 or 30 cents a bottle for hard liquor, and they were going to use the proceeds of that to support these alcohol rehabilitation programs and the like, of which I had been involved for about 6 years myself, since I'm a proud AA member of 30-some years now. We had a governor at the time by the name of Moonbeam.
Brown,
that was the one, yeah, the son of Pat Brown. He vetoed that bill, which in itself probably wouldn't have been all that distressing to the general public. It was a little confusing to me, but the real icing on that cake was that 6 months later, he proposed a bill to the legislature where they taxed soft drinks, 3 cents, a six-pack, the proceeds of which would be used to fight tooth decay. And I thought, my God, you know, this guy really doesn't get it. I don't know when the last time was I heard of a family being broke up by too many Pepsi Colas, but I'm sure it must have happened somewhere. Anyway, I have sufficiently digressed now. I hope I did not break your stride, if we can get back. So the voters passed. Let's not put anything in there that the FDA hasn't approved in the water. We don't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. Go away. So how does the state claim to have the power to come in there now and tell them that to ignore the will of the people?
Well, there's a few state laws that have been in effect for about since 95, I think it was first proposed and came forward in 97. And it's a loosely written thing that says that if outside funding becomes available to a city with over 10,000 water hookups, and if the city receives the funding, then they have to fluoridate. It doesn't say you have to accept the funding, but the funding is not to come from the ratepayers. That's a key part of the law.
Okay, so the funding comes from
outside sources, some kind of,
like the general fund of the state or something?
Not from the state. It's coming from some nonprofit organizations that who knows where that money's coming from. You got chemical companies that obviously need to sell this material to get rid of it because it is a toxic waste. So you can figure that one out.
Okay. The finest legislature money can buy. It has been and remains so. Some sort of big industries come in and they've paid the state, they've given the state money that...
Now, it's money is coming from a nonprofit organization. In this case, it's called the California Dental Association Foundation.
Okay.
They're the ones offering the money to the city.
Did the city take the money?
The city has never received any money, but the city did initially sign a contract last year, agree to fluoridate. Agree to take the money, I'm sorry.
Agree to take the money, which indirectly bound them to fluoridate as a condition of having taken
the money.
Well,
not necessarily so, because they never received the money.
Right.
They never took the money. It was an IOU.
Okay. So they sort of like a Jerry Lewis pledge. They pledged they were going to send the money, now whether or not they actually do.
That's right.
Okay.
So then what happened is, after the election, we won. Within that contract was a termination clause that allowed the city to terminate the contract if... city ordinance was passed that altered regulation of fluoride.
Got it.
That gave the city the option to terminate. The city chose to terminate the contract, which they did legally.
Okay.
It was in there.
So now it's all done, right?
It was all done. The state did not come in, did not threaten the city for terminating that contract at no time.
Okay, so now how long has it been from then till now?
The city terminated that contract in December 11th of 2002, just 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
So now the same group is offering the funding again with a brand new contract that's worded a totally different way, has different stipulations. Of course, make sure that they have no responsibility for anything that goes wrong.
Yeah, of course.
And now they're working in conjunction, it looks like, with the state again, and the state is saying that there's the funding offer again, and you have to take it, or else we're going to fine you $200 a day.
So this compliance order that I'm looking at here is not an order ordering you to put fluoride in your water because you took money from those people before. This compliance order that I'm looking at here is from the state of California telling you that you must take the money from the people that are offering the money and therefore obligate the city of Watsonville to put the fluoride in the water. Have I got that?
That's pretty much it.
Boy,
that's pretty much it.
And so when you look at them and say, excuse me, you know, I think one of the most basic tenets of of sovereignty is the right to contract, enter into contracts with whomever you choose under whatever circumstances. I'm confused. What is the state's what is the state claiming for their legal position on this? How are they pulling this off? I mean, they got to have something to say. They're just not standing there. This is a very detailed document. Looks very official. So, I mean, what is their legal standing to make you enter into a contract that everybody said they don't want to get into?
How about getting a fancy little gold seal and putting it on the document and saying you have to obey it?
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Well, what's the city of Watsonville going
to
do?
Well, we don't know. What I'm trying to do is to get people to, I guess I can kick in right now. My name is Nick Belayich, and I would want people to call me at 831-728-5640. And either contact me to get information or just call up the city of Watsonville and tell your elected officials, tell your city manager, tell everybody in there, tell your assemblymen to defend what the people voted.
Yeah.
So the coming on March 25th, it's not firm date yet, but it looks like it will be. The council will decide on how to handle this issue.
Okay. By the way, this is KSCO Midday News Noon. The call-in lines are 479-1080. You can call and talk to Nick here. We're going to try to get to Tom shortly, and it's also 477-1340. The main gist of this is not the issue of fluoridation. I don't want to get into the health aspects of fluoridation at this point. We're into how does the state get off telling the people of Watsonville from Sacramento what's best for them and what we as citizens are. The folks in Watsonville, the citizens, can do about it. And of course, one of my favorite rants is to try to get people to understand that their responsibilities to govern do not end with going down and voting. It doesn't end with paying your taxes. In fact, that only opens the door. When these guys go up to Sacramento, particularly the ones that go to Sacramento, they leave here talking to the people of this district, and they think they have a pulse on what's going on and what's important and everything. And then they get to Sacramento. And when they get to Sacramento, there's a feeding frenzy around these guys when they arrive. Here comes everybody that wants to lock their vote up from now on forever. And they're telling them what the people really want and what they need to provide. And because they're not here and because people think that they've done their job, they sent the right man, we do not serve as a reminder to those folks. And so this is one of those things where it doesn't matter whether or not you live in Watsonville as to whether or not you can do anything about this kind of behavior. If you find this behavior unacceptable, you have a senator, I believe his name is McPherson, you have an assemblyman, and I'm guessing Keeley. And
John Laird.
Laird?
Laird.
Okay, Keeley's not around anymore.
And Simone Salinas is ours over in Watsonville.
Got
Laird
it.
Would be the one in Santa Cruz.
But these guys need a phone call and say, hey, what the hey? How does this work? This is not what we're paying for, you know? We believe the people in Watsonville have a right to go down their own path in this regard. They're not bothering anybody in any other area of California. Leave them alone. If they don't want fluoride, don't be imposing fluoride on them. And these extortion things don't work. And take your gut, speak your gut to these people. Put them back on track. Let them think about what it is that they're doing and have been doing and are doing. If every person that voted for one of these elected officials were during the course of their term to call them and give them a grade on what they were doing and comment on some aspect of what they're looking at, what bills they're looking at, it would make a tremendous amount of difference in the way that they handle and perform in those jobs. I'm telling you, they really do get isolated. I've been to Sacramento. I've watched law be made. And I think I've told you all before, you don't want to eat sausage anymore. Don't find out how it's made. If you want to hold respect for the law, Lord, don't go up there and see how it's made because it'll scare you. It's not what you think it is. Before we get back to you and before we get to the phones, phone call-in lines, 479-1080, 477-1340, we're going to break for a few commercials and we'll be right back.
Now, here's great news for all you travelers. RVs of Merit now offers the full line of Winnebagos, America's best-selling motorhomes. Visit RVs of Merit today and see how easy it is to join the RV world and free yourself from all the anxiety about traveling these days. With a new Winnebago from RVs of Merit, you can visit your grandchildren today. Check out Pismo Beach next week and then head to the Gold Country the following week. And you can travel for little cost, about 1,000 miles for about $200 in gas. And since your RV qualifies as a second home, you can also get a great tax write-off. So go to RVs of Merit today and see just how easy it is to get into a new Winnebago, Airbus, Dolphin, or Coachman. Check out the new diesel pushers, Bigfoots, toy boxes, and splash trailers. Go to RVs of Merit today, just off Highway 17 on Scotts Valley Drive. You'll find the best prices on the best selection of Winnebagos anywhere. RVs of Merit, 461-1777, 461-1777.
Here is a question for you. Would a serious business use outdated and amateur-looking marketing materials like business cards, brochures, and letterheads? And what would be their customer's reaction? You guessed it. Lost sales. Hi, I'm Cyril Latomsky, and I build websites. Today, I have great news for owners of old, stale websites that have been collecting cyberdust since the last century. Well, now, seriously. My company, Linguacom.net, creates affordable, dynamic websites for local businesses. Recent technologies and competition have dramatically reduced our costs of developing and maintaining full-featured, professional-looking, database-driven dynamic websites. Now is a great time to update the amateurish old look, add dynamic content, and make your website work for you. Call me, Cyril Vatomsky, at 345-7211 or email at cyril@linguacom.net. I cannot promise you the website will make you millions overnight, but you will get the best website for your budget. I guarantee it. Call 345-7211. That's 345-7211. Call now.
Hi, My Messiah Radio.
Hello, this is Rabbi Stizenberger. Welcome back to the Hawaii. What did you do there? The hula?
No, Rabbi, I didn't hula, but being in Kauai was a big blessing. I have to go now, Rabbi. There's another call.
This is Joey from Brooklyn. I heard you met a guy who was attacked by a shark, and the Lord told him to punch him in the nose. Is that true?
Yeah, Joey, it's true. God's spirit spoke to my friend and told him to punch the tiger shark in the nose, and the shark swam away. I've got another call. Bye, Joey.
Gosh, this is perfect. My sweetie Olive Oil wants to know who your next guest will be.
Well, Popeye, tell Olive Oil to go to My Messiah Radio website. That's www.mymessiahradio.org. And read about each month's scheduled guests. They're all Jewish believers in Messiah Yeshua. Don't forget to listen every Sunday at 4 on KSCO.
Okay. Help Michael pay for all this electricity we're burning up down here. Okay, Nick, so where we left off is that there's a meeting coming up on the 25th, or maybe on the 25th, where they're going to discuss something. Do you guys have the agenda problems at the City Council in Watsonville that we have as agenda problems with the Board of Supervisors in Santa Cruz, where your agenda items, where the things they're actually going to vote on, become a matter of discretion, and some things do and some things don't based on that, and you're losing touch? I mean, how's this thing going to get on the agenda if it's going to get on?
Well, the city of Watson was pretty good. By Friday afternoon, the Friday before, it will be posted whether it's going to be on the agenda or not.
So a week from tomorrow?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so they're pretty good about that, and we in all likelihood would know for sure by that time. But it seems that it will be addressed on the 25th. It might not be, but I believe it will be. So that would be, if it is on the 25th, the council meeting starts at 6:30.
Well, who puts in what? I mean, now, the subject's going to be on the agenda, but what is the up-down vote going to be? Because, I mean, don't you have to ask them for, what are you going to vote for, or what are you going to vote against?
Right. There might not be a vote. There might be that the council simply wants input. They don't have to take action. They might just be seeking input. They might be looking for direction. So that's why it's very important for the citizens to come forward and tell the politicians to listen. We voted. I mean, how can you imagine a politician ignoring the voters on this, voting to ignore the voters on this, throwing out their vote, and then come election, going up to those same voters and saying, will you please vote for me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well,
it's ridiculous.
Right, exactly. And again, it's not a matter of whether or not they people need to understand this is not a matter of whether or not the state's going to be allowed to put fluoride in the water in Santa Cruz. It's whether or not the people in Watsonville have a right by their city charter, which
That's
they
right.
do, by the Constitution of the State of California, which they do, by all that makes sense and is holy, they have that right, and they do. And can the state just come along and disregard all that? So if I were to go to that meeting, would I be able to, at the meeting, for example, if I wanted to see the city vote up or down on a position from the city where not only will we not do this, but if you impose sanctions on us of $200 a day in retaliation for those sanctions, we will impose sanctions on you of $2,000 for every day that this proposed extortion continues, can we go in there and make recommendations like that to them, and what are the chances of being, you know, listened to?
Well, you get 3 minutes to talk.
Is that it?
You'll get 3 minutes there. So wouldn't it be nice if state comes around and is always threatening fining, always threatening to fine people.
Yeah.
But when they do something wrong, do we get to fine them?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we, the citizens, get to fine them and get some money back?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. It's another one of those situations where we have somehow, through neglect or whatever, managed to make our servants our masters, which leaves the only billet open, chattels. And it's like, I don't know about you, but that wasn't the United States I was raised in. Chattels is something they used to have under kings and excuse the expression, dictators, and not in something you'd run into in a democracy.
What about if any politician or city official, state official that wants to steal an election? Well, that's thievery. Why don't we come up with a nice fine and jail sentence for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, or the ones that literally, I mean, we joke about it, but the truth is that we have the best legislature that money can buy. One of my pet issues is the old helmet law thing. And just for example, not to bring the point, and I got a couple of people hanging on that want to talk about fluoride, and I don't know how to explain to you that I don't want to get into the chemical arguments. I love you. I mean, I really love the attention, and it's a good place, but this isn't the one. We're talking about how we get the state to obey the cities. Anyway, but I'm going to get the calls. We'll take them. Don't go away. Anyway, yeah, with the helmet law, the guy that got that bill through went into the legislature and lied to them about all the statistics and made it seem like an absolutely important thing to do. So they busted him on it, a newspaper reporter, after they passed this thing, and asked him. He said, we couldn't verify any of your statistics, and the people that you cited said that you just made it up. You know, what's your comment? And I cannot repeat that or any portion of it on this radio station except to say that it's an extreme equivalent, vulgar equivalent of who cares. There's a law, and that's the way they go. And this guy was absolutely immune from taking that insurance money and putting together these lies and going in there and lying to the legislature to get this statute in. There's nothing anybody could do with him. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, and you'll arrest me for jaywalking. Have I got this? I want to make sure I understand where our priorities are. Scott, you've been on a long time from Watsonville. Let's talk to you for a minute and see what's going on there. Scott? Oh, he went away. Here we go. Line two, I got, I did it now. Did I lose her?
Hello.
Elizabeth?
Hello.
How am I doing? Did I get you?
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, well, I'm a rookie with all this high-tech equipment. You know, telephones were made a long time after I was born.
Yes, well, all I know how to do is just hold on to the thing and talk into it.
Okay. Did you have some questions for Nick or myself, or did you, something you wanted to tell us today?
Well, a little bit of both. I really have gotten this a lot more clear now today with listening to more of what Nick had to say. I live in Carmel, and around Monterey County, we're dealing with cities making responses to the grand jury and trying to communicate with them. I was talking to someone who actually is an assistant city manager of one of the cities here, and his understanding and what he said to me, which I now know is, I knew it wasn't right, but didn't know how to explain it, what he said was that when the people of Watsonville voted on this referendum to keep unapproved substances out of the water, that they were actually voting against a law that had already been passed.
Well,
and I would like to hear, you know, a little more talk on that, because I want to know how to explain to people that know that's not what happened.
Well, yeah, and the only problem for Nick's going to be is that he's going to have to somehow or other address why this guy lied to you, and of course, I'm going to be sitting back in the corner explaining to you that if I were you, I'd be going down there trying to find out why they put a liar at the counter. But Nick, why don't you explain to her?
This is what's been going on for almost 2 years now. Nobody of the opposing side seems to want to read what the measure says. The state officials don't want to read it. They, even in their compliance order, they incorrectly state what the measure says. The assistant deputy attorney general or something, he hasn't even read the thing. He makes an opinion on it. So the way this works is, if you're a charter city, you are essentially a state within yourself.
You're talking about constitutional law.
That's
now.
Right.
Okay.
So you have a right over your municipal affairs unless something is in conflict with state law that is a statewide concern. Now, we are not in conflict with state law because the measure did not ban fluoridation. What we did, the right term to be using is we harmonized with the state law. The two of them can exist together. The state of California could pass this same measure tomorrow if they wanted to in the state, and it would not be in conflict with their own law. That's the key thing to remember, is if you are in conflict with the state law.
Right. But it acts in conflict because there's been no FDA approval of fluoride.
There's nothing to stop a manufacturer of the substance. This is the other key thing. A manufacturer of the substance can take that substance to the FDA, and they can take their proof to show that it works. It is safe and effective. And then the second part of the Measure S itself was that it's free of excess contaminants. If they can prove that it works to the FDA, the FDA will accept it, and I have to go home.
Yeah, right, exactly. Then they won't be violating what it is that the
That's
city...
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so rather than do that, what they keep trying to do is make it sound like Washingtonville voted not to fluoride.
That's
which
right.
Which is not the decision that was made.
Which was not the decision that's made. There's no doubt in that.
Did you get the subtlety of that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I get it. It's hard to explain this to people.
Yeah, I know. It's like Bill Clinton trying to get everybody to understand what is, you know. But it is a subtle difference, but it makes all the difference in the world. And it gives it the... it's like when Nick called me the other night. He was talking about how our local representatives are totally in favor of fluoridation. I said, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but how are they in relation to preserving the rights under a city charter? And of course, that is the issue here. It's no longer an issue of the fluoride contaminants. It's an issue of does the city have the right to do this? And this is something you guys are going to face over there as you're deciding what the outcome of that's going to be. I understand you have a little battle going on in the Carmel area.
Well, it's the whole Monterey County area.
Got it.
I don't want to distract from the Watsonville issue.
No, that's okay.
Today.
Did you get Nick's number, and have you been in touch with him otherwise?
I've got his number.
Okay, well, get in touch with him because he's full of a lot of information on this, and I want to grab some of my other callers. Thank you very much for the call, Elizabeth.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You bet.
Thank you.
And on line one, is I've got Cliff. Cliff, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. What do you got for you? You got something for me or something for Nick?
I got something for both of you.
Go ahead.
You know, water can be drank and be good for you, but when you add other substances to it, water could be a catalyst to make a poison work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, exactly.
It's short and I'll get off it.
Sure.
We had a dispute over water, and a woman, they were going to change just water districts. I won't say which one. And a woman got up and said, well, if you guys take our water, you know, and so somebody else wanted to raise the rates 65% way up there, you know, they were selling out to somebody else. But if you take it over, can you guarantee the water will be the same quality? Well, the men that were running for the water district at that time, they were running for office, says, well, we can't tell you, but we'll let you talk to our chemist. And the chemist got up there in front of everybody. There must have been 100 or so people or more in the fire department there in Felton. And he said, well, once we treat it, it's no longer water. So I think we've got a problem from the get-go.
Lord,
why do they
talk to us like they think we're fools? You know, that kind of behavior... I think it's because not enough people are prepared to stand up and yell at them, you know? What the hell kind of an asinine statement is that?
Well, and I had to get up and make a statement, and I told him, well, you know, the funny thing is that I live right on the river, and I see a lot of soap suds going down it, and that means people are putting their wash water in it, which means bleach and every other thing that's going. Of course, they're already...
But it's not water anymore, so it doesn't matter, right?
Well, so that's the thinking. So you don't know whether adding fluoride to these other chemicals, muriatic acid is how they clean the water pipes. Did you know that?
Oh, yes.
So there's very... And then when you add another chemical to it, you don't know what the reaction to that. Maybe that's why you're not getting any results from the... well, what's the name of the group that has to test all these?
Oh, FDA.
SBA.
Sure. Well, because they don't test water, but of course this isn't water anymore, so that opens a lot of new doors. Cliff, I'm gonna let you go. Thanks a lot for the call, and that picture I will carry in my mind forever. I'll never drink another glass of water. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
It's a good point that he stood up and spoke for his issue.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't understand why should the citizens of a city, of a county, of a state, of this country have to stand up and tell their elected officials, tell these state employees to fight for pure water.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. We're paying them to do what then?
Well, but it's not water anymore. This is KSCO, Midday News at Noon. Call in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. We're here with Nick and
Blyatch.
Blyatch.
You're going to get it.
I am. Before I leave today, I swear to you, I'm going to get it. It's a tongue twister. When you look at it, it's most difficult. Theodore is on line 3, and I'm going to give her a call because I like her. She called in here the other day and was real nice to me.
Hello?
Theodora.
Hey. And hi, Nick. Good Hello. Show. I haven't been able to catch it all, but I'm... What I've caught, you haven't mentioned the second half of Measure S, which is all the other substances that are carried along with the fluoridation substances.
Well, he did mention that briefly. What happened was is that, and it is a tendency to want to talk about the goods and the bads of the fluorides. But what we've kind of hooked up here, is that whole issue of the state telling the city that their vote's no good. Because that is a very ominous thing. I mean, who are we? Who are we if not our opinion? You know, and if it is a government of the people and it's supposed to be for us, who is the state to come in and tell Watsonville? The audacity of it, and then the lies and coercion and changing the subject and all this other stuff that Nick's had to deal with. I look at this stuff, Theodora, and I just shake my head. And I keep asking down here. I have some ideas as to how these things can be fixed, but I'm not going to express them because somebody out there might have a better one. The only thing I know is that not realizing that we have a responsibility to do it is damaging us because the government takes that as affirmation. Silence is consent. They just head out. And the other thing is not knowing how. But we've all got ideas as to how, and we need to get together and share those and start dealing with this kind of level of abuse of power by these bureaucrats. I am personally absolutely incensed by the fact that Sacramento believes that they can come there and force people in Watsonville. I want to know where Senator McPherson stands on this. You understand?
Well, I totally agree, but I do think that if people have an understanding of what Measure S is about, they're more likely to fight for it than if they think it's just a bunch of bureaucrats from the city fighting bureaucrats from the county.
Yes, ma'am.
From the state. So,
but it was like we talked about earlier today.
Good. If it got covered, then people understand.
Well,
we're not just talking fluoridation. We're talking about toxic waste going into the water, and it's worth fighting for people in Watsonville. It's worth making those calls to the city council and showing up at the meeting.
Exactly. And I hesitate to point out that winning doesn't mean that you win. Winning just means that now you have a new place to stand and fight from where you can fight as a winner because these questions were asked and answered at the election. The will of the voters saw the importance of this, voted for the measure, passed the measure. Now what we need to do is get the state out of the way so that they can enact it. I mean, doesn't that seem reasonable?
Well, it definitely does, and that's why, you know, I'm supporting Nick. That's why I'll be there at the meeting and bring a few people along. But again, anybody listening who's who's close to Watsonville or part of this issue, you know, don't fall asleep on this one.
Absolutely. No, if you can't make the appearance, at least pay attention.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for the show.
You bet.
Kind of a response to her, I'd be happy to answer anybody's questions if they want to go more into the issue.
On particulars? Yeah, you would do it in about 4 minutes.
No, they can call me. They can call me for more of the particulars. I know the state law. I know the measure. I know what the threat letter from this Department of Health. I've read the thing. I've read the contracts.
Your number?
831-728-5640.
And by the way, he does answer his phone, and he will answer your questions. I know because I called him back when he called me. Steve's out there in Salinas, got something about fluoride and wells. Steve?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Hey, I wanted to know if you people know what the natural occurrence of the substance fluorine is in the Watsonville well water.
It's about 0.3 parts per million.
You consider that dangerous or what?
Well,
do you consider that dangerous or...
It could be to some people, but that's naturally occurring.
Right, yeah.
That's naturally occurring. This is not
so they
want
to fluoridate it to what level, do you know?
They want one part per million.
One part per million. Do you consider that dangerous?
Definitely what they want to use.
Huh?
They want to use, let me tell you something, the substance they want to use is not some naturally occurring thing. It is a toxic waste. It's a byproduct from the phosphate fertilizer business. It's got lead. It's got arsenic in it. That's dangerous. If you want to drink lead or if somebody else wants to drink lead, that's fine, but not in my water.
Right. That's why the bill passed in the first place. The people of Watsonville saw all those elements. They heard these arguments.
I see. And
they understand that it's not just a matter of enhancing a natural fluoride that's in the water. It is a matter of adding chemicals that are absolutely not contained in the water.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for answering my question.
You bet.
Thank you.
And the votes don't count. That's annoying. You got your number out a second time?
831-728-5640. And I'm urging everybody, don't let them take your rights away. Don't let them ruin your water. You had an election. We won. Stand up for it. Contact your congressman. Contact your state senator. Contact your assemblyman, council members, everybody. Don't let them do it to you. Once they take your election rights away, they'll take everything else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the same thing that we have with the medical marijuana thing. When the state of California says that this is the way we're going to do it, the feds come back and say, oh, no, you're not. And then it goes back to my initial rant. Like, we're going to take this on the road as a road show. We're going to go out and present the world with this form of government. So in the name of some greater principle that eludes me altogether, I think that we have gotten so far away from understanding what freedom is that we don't even know when it's been taken from us. We have such a sense of, because of the way we're educated, I guess, because we're taught to stand in lines and we're taught to do what the teacher says and we're taught, you know, behave, that we're not prepared to stand up in a room full of our servants. And I don't mean servants as in the kind and slaves. I'm talking about servants, the kind you hire to answer your door.
That's right.
You know, you pay these guys well and you put them in some real nice clothes and they walk to the front door and they greet your guests because that's what they're paid to do. And when they start telling you to get the door yourself, I believe that we have every right and every responsibility to step up and say, Jeeves, I said, get the door. And for the kind of money we pay these guys, I don't get it. I don't get it. Start to exercise your authority. Please, please out there, start to exercise your position. We are not chattels. We are not waiting for them to tell us how to live. We're grown individuals. We know what we're doing. We know how to do it. And it's absolutely time for it to stop. Just, you know, get in touch with them. Come knock off the bad behavior. I'll talk to you guys next week. Nick, thanks a million for coming down. Great show.